Can you come closer so that I can touch you?
That Exodus chapter 6. I'm reading yesterday. I'm going to be coming, they will go in again. There are prayers that we have to pray. There are verses in the heart. As long as God has not eaten the words. And the verses that we have the right of the enemy. That in the presence of the Lord we have vessels of gold, vessels, you know, Unto Sisera, and unto Jairus, at the brook of Kishon.
Thank you. Amen.
Attack.
Amen. We want to shake the enemy this morning. I just simply remind you that every enemy that has shaken us, that we are taking our inheritance, we don't want them to come up losing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, brethren, let's stand up. The blood has been given to us. Amen. Every weapon has been given to us. Now we want to fight against the enemies of our soul. You know, the greatest enemy is a familiar spirit that says, I know his mother, I know his father, I know his grandfather. If you will bring those things of your father, that you will be doing like them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he thought he had overcome because of the ministry. But when the temptation came, he knew that he had not overcome. Amen! Brother, we need to fight this morning. That what the Lord wants to do today, amen, the enemy cannot come close. Amen! The principalities and powers of this environment cannot hold us back anymore. Amen! We want to see sweet flow of praise and worship. We want to see the sweet flow of ministry. Amen. Now let God say speaking at the oracle. We want to speak as oracle. Anything that will intimidate us, anything that will stop us, anything that will say no to our prayer. Hallelujah! This day is time. Amen. We don't want to stay in this place. We want to be in attack this morning. Hallelujah. So don't lift up your voice and say, today, every familiar spirit, every tribal spirit, every blood covenant that has been speaking, that has been, you know, there are altars that have been saying, let me go and come back, we will meet you. Amen. We want to stay there and fight him. We will not meet him anymore. Hallelujah! Amen! That thing that is making me to look like River State man, that thing that is making me to look like a quiet man, that thing that is making me to be like Igbo man, I will not meet him again. Amen! Praise the Lord! So, brethren, speak to God that today, the weapon you have received, you want to fight with it. Amen! If God did not say he has won the battle and stayed in one place, has to move to collect what the Lord has promised them. This morning, this time, we want to take over. No, the Bible was talking about taking over environments. Amen. Taking over states. Taking over countries. Hallelujah. Taking over your soul. Taking over your heart. Taking over your environment. Amen. Taking over that. Having dominion over us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lord, Capu Satane, Reki, Rikapo, Sotone, Rebro, Sotone, Makabaku, Katabo, Sotene, Nebi, Priyabo, Sotone, Nebosha, Mahi, Rokatabako, Sotone, Nalahi, Yufakias, Yebo, Satana, we come against you with a blood of Jesus. We come against you with the blood of Jesus. We say no to you. That great price you demand has been paid. You cannot come to beat and murder in our family, in our household, in our fellowship, in our gathering. Today we say no to you. And we come by the fire. And say today, let the fire from above come to you. In the name of Jesus, we're Satan and Abu. We bless us. Rakapa sete le mwande nata, mande o
Ma se te le pone, ma la 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 You suffer. Thank you. Thank you. you might be a wonderful expositor. You might be a wonderful preacher. If you do not clarify with you, it's a waste of time. Hallelujah. I hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. If there is no fire, hallelujah, that is offering, that sacrifice is not accepted. Every offering that you want to bring to God, and as the scripture tells it, all of them were accompanied with fire. If not, it's not acceptable. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are coming to a time when, hallelujah, ministry are going to be tried, not on the basis of their eloquence, not on the basis of what they know, knowledge and the rest. It is going to be based on the level, hallelujah, the amount of fire that you carry. If there is anything the devil can be afraid of in this time, it's fire. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Jesus got into his place. Hallelujah. And the man began to speak. Hallelujah. He didn't say anything. The man began to speak and said, why have you come to us before our time? Before the time. They were seeing something. Fire is the thing that authenticates, hallelujah, the true ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are going to ask for anything, hallelujah, I got God. He told them, he said, stay here. Hallelujah. He said, stay here. Now, they have been going out before, is it not so? In fact, he said 70 of them. They went and they cast out demons and all that. Hallelujah. Yeah? He sent them on ice. You understand? He sent them on industrial training. Hallelujah. They go. Hallelujah. And when they came back, they said the devils, they even did what they were doing. He said, that is not all. Just make sure that you are a company of people that can act. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, make sure that your name is in the world. Praise God. The kingdom of God is characterized with light, with fire. Hallelujah. Amen. So make sure you are there. Glory to God. But then we are coming to a time where God will begin to demonstrate his power by the insignia of fire. Hallelujah. And when they see fire, they will know. Amen. And when we talk about fire here, carry fire, we're not talking about just necessarily. Hallelujah. In your home. That altar in your home must be an altar filled with fire. Hallelujah. When you get into an environment, what they begin to see is fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. The fire will paralyze men who have evil intentions against you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
There's a thought I want to bring this morning, but I don't know if the Lord is going to say something. I hope it won't just hear me off.
Amen. God. Praise God. From this morning, we are entering into a new dimension. And if you can recall, since we arrived here from Thursday, it has been a battle. We have been on the wall set also.
Yes,
we can witness in the spirit that God has done exactly even more than we requested. On our enemies. Now he's going to pay attention to us to give us that expected end. So as we been singing these songs, like the last one, he's coming to seal our cup unto overflowing. Mission that the Lord is having in the Holy now. So I just have to confirm this with a few readings. Like my brother was saying, I pray God I should not force it to share. Amen. And you know, some kind of info that he will farm the more according to the capacity God has given him. We will truly satisfied in this way. Because in this meeting, we must be satisfied in this way. We will not be on the trial anymore. We will be on the fulfillment. And we will be in the manifestation. I believe that is God's own intention to each and every one of us. The Lord is making a new thing, and we are a partaker of that new thing. I want to read from Leviticus, number 20, chapter 26. Chapter 26 of the book of Leviticus. And I will be reading some other detailed scriptures to guide our minds as we go through Leviticus chapter 26 from verse 3 to 13. And it reads, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season.
Amen.
And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time.
Amen.
And if I eat your bread,
amen,
to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down,
amen,
and none shall make you afraid. I will leave evil, I will leave this out of the land. Amen. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And the advice of you shall take, and five of us shall chase an hundred, and an hundred of us shall put 10,000. And our enemies shall fall before us by the sword. Oh, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat all stuff, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will put my tabernacle among you, amen, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. And I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be the appointment, and I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you grow up upright. Amen. So, brethren, this is what the Lord is coming to us with this morning. And as the ministration will be going on, each and every one of us open up. And you're ready to receive them. Every time we fill our cup, unto overflowing, it is the will of the Lord. Then, let us read the scripture in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, the book of Galatians chapter 4.
And hey,
now I
tell that the head, as long as he is a child, divides nothing from a servant, though he be the head of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Amen.
So what we are saying now is that by now we should be able to examine ourselves and make sure and be sure we are no longer in the kindergarten or in the nursery or not in the primary, but we are attending on to somewhere. Then God will want to see us as able ministers of the New Testament, as the people whom He has called out of Egypt, like He told us in the book of Leviticus, to come and inherit our land. We were not meant to be complete forever at a mere war, but we were meant to minister on this earth the prophecy that the Lord is having for the church. Because right now, the arm of the Lord is upon the church. And it is the will of God to see that men like us here are standing upright and are ready to take up the mark of the kingdom. Like Aaron was talking about being on fire. How do you understand that? It's not a physical fire, but when you are facing a situation, you make real of it. Accept it, you don't give up, don't allow it to be the way it used to be, because we are asked to come and make changes to the glory of God. And I believe you will live by the speaking of the church. Our life will change as a people. You will live by the speaking of the church as we are doing now. Our life will change as a family. You will live by the speaking as a church. Our life will change as a nation, because God is putting this gathering for a purpose, and this purpose must be established. Therefore, brethren, look up unto Him. Let us look up unto God with assurance that we are having in our faith, that the Lord will be in the way He has promised. He is the one that will never fail, He can never fail. And He is coming to raise us up and coming to show us the way that we must follow, which is the way we have never been before. I have said it. Where we are entering now is where we have not been before. I can agree very much with the ministration that has been going on, that the Lord has promised to take us to a realm that has never entered into man's imagination. He has never entered into man's vision. No man has ever dreamt of it. And that is what the Lord is coming to take us into. Like we were led to begin to understand that there's going to be some supernatural condition about us, the glory of God, and to our own favor, that the enemy will no longer be ruling over us. Let us believe God and open us to this truth. It is the truth that is meant for a time like this. And now we're going to fall a prayer into the hand of the enemy. No! Family is for us. It's the will of the Lord that He has called out from the born men. He didn't want us to be born men anymore, but to be masters of situations. Therefore, let us open up unto the Lord and ask Him and call upon Him and pray for the various rain that is coming through. Not only waiting us, will be soaking us. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when God begins to deal with us, the dealings of God will produce obedience.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And when obedience is produced, you begin to enjoy those inheritance. And Leviticus 26 establishes that fact that there is a call unto obedience. Hallelujah. What has turned our world upside down is as a result of what? Disobedience. Hallelujah. Yes. But when our hearts begin to turn unto God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those things that he has done. Listen, Brother Eberon was saying this last night. You see, Eden was a heaven. Hallelujah. Eden was a heaven. A heaven where lion could lie down with man. Where all those animals that have turned against humanity, they were there with one another, they were there with man. Hallelujah. Until there was disobedience, everything was turned upside down. Hallelujah. But when man begins to turn unto God in obedience, God begins to turn the situation, the elements around. He begins to turn them around. Because we must return into the place where that prophetic word that was given in Eden began to be fruitful in our time and in our experience. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah. He told man, he said that, multiply. And do what? Be fruitful. And have what? Dominion. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And when you see men begin to command certain levels of elemental obedience, hallelujah, it does mean that man is now beginning to turn to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet came one day, he said, there shall be no rain. Hallelujah. According to my word. He didn't say according to what God said. He said according to my word. Hallelujah. And it was so. And when it was time, he released what? The rain. He looked up the heaven. A man came and he stood and he said, You son.
Hallelujah.
Go back. And it was so. And the Bible said that there has never been a place, any time, anywhere, in any part of the world, where one was able to command such authority.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Brethren, that is where we are coming to. Hallelujah. But what will produce it is what? Obedience.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There is a level you're coming to God. You don't know anything called lack.
Yes.
Lack. That is, you don't have lack. Other people are going to run outside. But every need at every point in time is met by God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When we begin to return unto obedience, he said that. Let it here in Leviticus 26. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and what? Do them. That's obedience. So you don't begin to hope for all these things that you have been related here if you are not walking in what? Obedience. Hallelujah. I think the problem of humanity, the problem of you and I, has to do with the problem of obedience. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But brethren, when we begin to turn unto God, hallelujah, the elements will no longer be harsh unto us. Our environment will begin to be subdued by us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll be sharing something that I feel will break obedience. There are certain things that you must come into that will produce obedience. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There are certain encounters that you must have, I must have, that will begin to produce obedience. That will begin to cause us to conform into the image and into the likeness of God. Hallelujah. You know, like we were sharing last night, there are certain encounters men encounter. Brethren, there is nothing you can tell that man that will be greater than the experience he had himself. I don't know whether you understand. If you, that is one day you just wake up and you see Jesus in your room, nothing surpasses that experience. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And any word he gives you, lasts in your mind and in your head for eternity. Hallelujah. The challenge we have is that we are not having encounters with God. All the things that God has been speaking to us here, hallelujah. The only way it will begin to produce results is for me to go to God for an encounter. That God, I want to experience this thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. A man is suffering from a malady called anger. Hallelujah. And he goes to God. Say, God, I want an encounter that will uproot this thing that has been planted in my life. Hallelujah. And God begins to take him through certain certain circumstances. Hallelujah. That will begin to deal with that. But before he goes to do that, he must have gone to God and spent hours praying. Say, God, this thing, it pains me, oh God. It is disturbing me. It is warning my life. It is making me not to lay hold on the inheritance you have given for me. Therefore, you must work it out. It's like a counter. Hallelujah. You see a different pattern in your life. Hallelujah. Every time the thing keep on repeating itself and you take it casually, you are not going to get any results. You must tell God you want to be engaged in an encounter that will deal with that person. Hallelujah. I'm going to cite a few scriptures, a few experiences of men who have beckoned an encounter upon their lives. Because that is the pathway into sonship. That is the pathway into inheritance. That is the pathway of laying hold on the things that God has spoken concerning you. Listen, you are in covenant with God. Every one of us have come into covenant with God. Hallelujah. And that covenant is a covenant of an encounter. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, I want to say that encounters will bring men into experiences, hallelujah, that must alter the configuration of things in their life, that must bring about a transformation, that will bring about a change in nature, a change in character, a change in their environment. That is what encounters with God must produce in us. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 But there are things that begin to lie low in our lives because we are not scared of an encounter. I don't know whether you understand. A man may never know that he has such a treacherous and wicked temper until something provokes him. Hallelujah. A man may never know that he has so much love for money until he is brought into a place where he is controlling millions. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you're answering a pastor. Apostle has nothing to do with it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Until a man begins to, those things they are lying down there. Somebody must provoke it. Something must provoke it. For you to begin to discover and say, oh God, is this really who I am? Hallelujah. Praise God. Therefore, when those things begin to fall off, God is saying you need to come to a place of what? Encounter.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was one night I was driving. I think that time we were walking back at church. And the whole place was filled with sand, and you know how congestion can be. You remember that sand, you know that. Slippery and all that. And came to his bedroom. He was driving, and there was this bus that came and blocked me. Hallelujah. Amen. I was so angry. Hallelujah. I got up the car. I went and this, I don't see what I'm saying. So I thought that, but this thing broke. Hallelujah. Amen. I never knew who owned the car. By the time you know, they called the Austin called police. Health police. Your brother had to write a check of 10,000 naira to increase this. That was that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
There are men who have had encounters. Hallelujah. One of them is a man I will. Or well, there are men. They are all men. There are four of them are our clients. Hallelujah. And we are going to take them quickly so that we get to understand why God has to take them through that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of them was Moses. I don't know whether you know the character of Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses, no doubt, had a calling. A calling that was before he was even born. They rescued him because they thrown him into river. Is it not so? He was floating away. Somebody, God, by divine arrangement, God had to bring him. And they nurtured him with the best of food, with the best of environment. Hallelujah. In fact, he was being groomed for the kingship of Pharaoh of Egypt. I don't know whether you know that. Praise God. He was being groomed. Hallelujah. He had a calling. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
He had a calling, very clear calling. Even though he ran away from being fed, yet God apprehended him. He ran into the bush. God had to teach him what it means. You know what God was looking for Moses? There was something innate inside of him that will spoil the eternal plan of God for the children of Israel. And how many times he messed it up? He saw this man, he didn't get back, he beat a man. That one guy. He did very thing. That was a man. You want to do to me, you want to do to that man there. That man now made him the man away. Amen. Hallelujah. God wasn't done with him yet. Because he hadn't come to the place of encounter. You know, God to keep on running. God told us he had run. He keeps on being sleep. But I'm telling you, a time comes and cross the way.
Yes.
Amen.
And
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You don't know what he did to Balak.
Amen.
If I decided you were the prophet, he did it. He did this. He did this. God had to walk away. Hallelujah. And began to do some extraordinary things. He told it. The ass began to speak.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to wait until you have some swaying encounters. Hallelujah.
Praise God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So Moses runs not here and there. But God had to work with him in the bush. All the way. You know, Moses has never known what it means to obey. I don't know whether you know that. Hallelujah. He said that, first of all, he told him, he said, remove that sheep.
I don't know, he asked.
In your feet. For where you are standing is what? That was number one. Let him know what he told him. You don't step on holy ground. With filthy feet. Hallelujah. So he had to deal with him there and he quickly. He said, now I will do what? Turn me around. There has never been an iota of repentance in the man's action. He has never. All he's so self-willed, so strong. Whatever he has determined to do, that is what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Moses said, I will kill. I'm going to kill. Nobody stops him. That was such a rage he had. It was something walking inside of him. Hallelujah. And I must say that he may have glory in it. Hallelujah. Glory in it for 7 years. Hallelujah. Amen. But God had to bring it to a point where he had to deal with that. Hallelujah. He had that. You know, there are certain characters that Moses had that God had to also use and refine them.
Amen.
For the purpose of his kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. There was, after he had the character, God began to do a refining process. He set fire in his bosom. Hallelujah. He set fire on him. He saw that fire in the burning bush. He said, come on, this fire is burning. But it's not destroying the grass. It doesn't mean that this fire can be upon my life and And if you not destroy the precious things in my life, then God will refrain them from His
glory.
The man began to speak of different. And from that day, his perspective and his thinking about God began to change. Brethren, there are things that God needs to burn with fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there are three things that fire will do in your life. Fire must burn off the things that are rubbish. That is what fire does. It burns them off. He told them that they're not going to be of any use to me until the comforter comes. And that comforter came with fire. He says it was a cloven tongue of fire. Hallelujah. And that fire came in order to refine these people that have been hearing, and some of them have been dull in hearing, in understanding. But when the fire came, there was light that illuminated their soul, illuminated their hearts. So fire came down upon Moses. He saw it, and he knew that this is for real. For every person God is going to use in this time, there must be a purging. It must be of necessity, a purging by fire, a cleansing by fire. Therefore, I must subject myself to this kind of dealings of God. Praise God. God had to deal with the weakness of Moses. He had to deal with his anger elements. He had to deal with this striking, this pattern that have been very, he was notable for that. Hallelujah. He was well known for that. And yet, God was also working in him, saying that this man has meekness. You understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was something about Moses that came as a result of God's dealing upon his life. Hallelujah. But even with that, brethren, I now recognize that there was something that from time to time did spring up in his life. And brethren, that is where we must be dealing with. Those things that occasionally will spring up. Or that will bring them. I think that, so that is, what is that place? Is it a Mara? Where was it that he struck them up? Hallelujah. Amen. He told him to do what? He said, speak, and he did what? Spoke. Hallelujah. And that was the problem. And God made a terrible pronouncement about Moses. Now, I don't want to end up like Moses.
Amen.
I don't know whether you understand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That at the funeral of a man, what happened was that they now energized your good parts. That no man talks about the things that you did that were bad. And that's what we have today. Like a reverend was saying about resting in peace. There is something like that. And they say you don't speak in about the God, the dead man. Hallelujah. But that is not God's standard. I must deal with everything that God is pointing out at this time. See all the things God is telling us in this meeting. It is something we need to package. Take some time out. 1 week, 2 weeks. Say, God, I recognize when my brother was speaking, there was something that churned inside my tongue. And I identify myself with that. God, listen, this 1 week, I want to visit it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, it is real. It is true. It can work. I have seen it work in my life. The testimony of my life tells me that it is true. Short tempered. The man that needs a tap, you know, he will know now. Hallelujah. Sweet fighters. If you belong to Agaba, then you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Every little thing will snap. Every little thing I'm angry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember one day in Lagos, I was driving. In fact, it was not just one day. Every time, you know this thing about driving in Lagos. Lagos drivers are more civilized than those of us in Qatar, most of them. But the little thing they will do like they will say, really, they will start abusing. Hallelujah. But my own, I will get angry in the car. Why is this system driving like this? Look at you! You can't look from this. In this until one day, as we entered into our street, that thing happened again. My wife said, Don't you think it's time we begin to reduce? You need to. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't wait until you are told. Or what's it? Think that one that happened. Tell my son or my daughter, I don't say, Daddy, why are you so angry with that man? Are you following me? Praise God. Now, when you begin to hear that kind of thing, my dear, take time out and say, God, you see this thing that is inside my appetite? Deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm okay. Hallelujah. Jacob had his own encounters. And the man recognized it. Hallelujah. Amen. He has carried on. Listen, encounters have nothing to do with your wealth. It has nothing to do with what you have and what you do not have. That is not the issue. Whether you are poor, rich, that it has nothing to do with it. Because there are poor people who lament about not having. And then there are these people who lament that they have too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They don't know how to manage it anymore. You don't know. I had a man, he doesn't know. He cried out for people to help him to manage his wealth. Hallelujah. So it has nothing to do whether you're poor or rich. The dealings of God has no social status for any man. It has nothing. If you like, he said that that the life of a man does not work on the law of God. That is not what makes him. See, the blessing of or the way God creates a man, he does not create a man based on what you have. Or what you do not have. He does not do that. There are scales. God has got scales. If you want to find out that it is in the Leviticus, he said a man shall be one shaker, a human. So that is how God weighs you. Jesus was weighed for how much? 30% of something. Hallelujah. So God is, when God talks about a man, he is not talking about what you have or what you do not have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So Jacob has everything that acquires all this. In fact, Jacob can be said to have something equivalent to a village. Had to break them up into how many droves? Into three droves. So in terms of cattle, in terms of camel, whatever, he had them all. But the man suddenly discovered that this thing that I had, there was a way in which I did what? Acquire them. Therefore, I need to do something about it. And you know what? There was something very near inside of him. And that is the fear of what? Esau. Some of us, what is characterizing our being is the spirit of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that this thing has happened. If I die now, who will take it? Hallelujah. Fear of the certificates you have. Hallelujah. Jacob came to that point. He knows that it is not the issue of what he has. Hallelujah. But there is something that will strike a man into a place of encounter. The man said, all these things, okay, all of you, just he kept everything aside. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he crossed the brook of Jabbok. He came to a place. Hallelujah. There is always a place of encounter for you. You must locate it. And when you look at it, you say, God, it's me and you today. If you don't do it, I'm dying. Is it not S? Who was that? S. 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 He said, if I tell this one, I perish. But this one thing, I will deal with it. As he came there, God was present. Hallelujah. Have you ever asked when that is praying?
I say, God,
I'm going to this place, this India. But God saw the hearing and the groaning in his heart. As he came there, he knew that God was present. And he began to rest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand the meaning of resting. Resting means that there is a spot that you must overthrow. That there must be a winning point.
Hallelujah.
That is, you have struggled with it and then you overcome it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The man who fights to win. So if you say you are fighting with something, you are fighting with the objective to do what? To win. You are not fighting to lose.
Yes.
Jacob did not come across that place with the intention to wrestle with God to lose. Yes, to lose. He said that he might win. He thought it was the business as usual. He said he thought he was going to be the winner as this. But when he came to this point, he is fighting today to lose. You must fight to lose certain things, certain elements, certain characteristics, certain humanity, certain behaviors. They must vanish out of you and me. When we come to the place of encounter, you lose to win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You go down to life. Hallelujah. That is place of encounter. That is what happens. So when he came there, God wrestled with him. And he was really fighting hard to overcome God. God said, now, if I don't do something, this man will still continue with his old habits. He will still continue with this supplanting nature. Some of us, that is the way it is. We struggle with God. We struggle. We overpower. We become, I think it's difficult that we are too strong for God. May you never be too strong. Say, God, please overcome me. Hallelujah. Subdue me. Bring me under. Hallelujah. God subdued Jacob. He talked to him, and from that day, that nature left him. The man became weak. The man that had a lot of riches. Hallelujah. As he came before his brother, he was subdued. He knelt how many times before he met his son? Hallelujah. When we begin to overcome, brethren, there are, you don't even know when you say, good morning, sir, to a very small boy. You understand? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure my wife never says that again. She used to tell me, why are you always asking people, sir? People that are older than you begin to tell them sir. Today she understands. She has told him to university problem, so she understands that you need to tell some people who know this. Today she was talking to them with people like I was laughing inside of her, my wife is very fast. Praise God. She said, yes, sir. Okay, sir. Okay, I will meet you by 11, sir. I was laughing. I said, that is it. Brethren, not to talk about humility, it must be what inside of us. It must be something God must interwove inside of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jacob was a man who came into a place of encounter. God began to deal with him, and his nature changed. And it was for his own good. At that particular point, Jacob's name was changed. His nature was changed. He became the Israel of God. I need a new name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I need a new name.
Amen.
You need a new name.
Amen.
He said, I give the overcomes. I will give what? A name.
Yeah.
It's not the one who gets to heaven. It's here. I see, brother, there are people you just want to avoid. You understand? Because anything you say, they get provoked and you don't want that. It's not only that the man that they tell you. And go to him now. You're talking to a different personality. You know, his name has been changed. Because God has dealt and produced something. Sweet fragrance begins to come out of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was another person. Hallelujah. There are certain things that God must live in the sons of man. Hallelujah. There's a difference between though it's the same man. There is son of man and there is what? Son of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. God took him through. He went on a 40 days fast to deal with certain factors in his life. Are you with me? Jesus went on 40 days fast. You say, "Bro, how the Bible do you know?" The Bible said that during that time, what happened to him? He was tempted in three levels. Is it not so? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Am I putting scripture?
Yeah.
He was tried. One had to do with the issue of what? Appetite. Bread. You understand? And then he said, turn this stone into what?
Bread.
But you're dealing with a man who has built capacity over time. He has built himself. He was ready for everything. And that is why he's the pattern son. I must follow his example. He has built his capacity over time. Every morning he will wake up. He will go up to the mountain. He will be there alone. Hallelujah. God was showing him things he needed to do. And this he needed to respond to. And as he came in that day, it was more money for him. That good thought he is going to get. And yet, if you don't build capacity, you are going to fall prey to the enemy. Hallelujah. Over time, he has gathered himself, he has prepared himself. The devil thought that. Hallelujah. But when he took him, he said, what am I going to do? Listen, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about a little bit about this passage, but before we get there, I want to share a few other things with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. From there, he moved in. What is the second temptation? He took him to the pinnacle, right? Was it the pinnacle?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he said that he should do what? Fall down from that place. Huh? Hallelujah. And the angels will catch up with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are things that are happening to us, especially us in this end time. You see, the spirit of fame and popularity, God must deal with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You want to be popular. When you like, especially when you understand certain kingdom concepts, you feel you have known it, you have arrived. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you must come in pictures before you begin. Even if you do certain, you want to exact certain level of influence over the people. He begins to build up a little clique. The people that he used to do is a problem. When I talk to the pinnacle, he said that he was building faith. The next was, which was the next one?
Glory of God.
Huh?
You should worship him.
And that, are you not seeing all those principles working today? They are all there to be. And that is where the church is missing. And that's not where we're going. I'm talking about me. The things that are inside. If you give me opportunity, I'm going to manifest them. Do you understand? Hallelujah. If you give me opportunity, hallelujah. And that is why certain level of power and anointing is not manifest in our midst. Hallelujah. Yeah, that you are, if it does come now, you lay hands on someone and the person gets healed. Your faith will go down. All the house fellowships will be inviting you all down. Do you understand? Then when you are coming, you now move suddenly the hands of God. Your status will change. Your voice will change. Better put my phone, I will be given to you. Hallelujah. Dressing will change. Hallelujah. The other guy was laughing. I saw one picture. He was wearing purple shoe. They want the thing, this thing with the microphone is what? Purple. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that has that microphone, no one else uses it. It must be you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus went through that experience. Why? Because he was able to build capacity in his spirit. He was able to overcome. The right words came at the right time. At the point, he said, listen, it is nonsense to still have this conversation with you. Say, do what? Get me behind me. Say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I take one more last man, and that man is called Paul. He had a count. In fact, his only count is not once, it's not twice. After this word, I believe God is saying, your encounter with God will not just be one. One encounter solves every problem. No, no, no. It's going to be several encounters. Because there are several things that are lined up right on the foundation that are still at variance with the principles of the kingdom of God. Many things that are lined up. For Paul, it has to be that issue. You know, he was carrying out a very serious religious duty. But God had to meet him at the point. Hallelujah. And God turned that from heaven. And he fell upon him. What? That particular day, Paul was defeated. A man commanded others to destroy his things. Now he was brought down. He was on the floor. I don't know whether you understand. In the middle of the road, the man is on the floor. Didn't you hear that voice? Hallelujah. He was brought down. That was the number one encounter that Paul had. An encounter that changed his name. Hallelujah. An encounter that changed his art of religiosity. Hallelujah. An encounter that made him to say, listen, today, the scales must fall out of your eyes for you to see wrong. That was what that encounter produced. Praise God. Brethren, we need encounters.
Amen.
That will cause scales to fall off our eyes. So that we begin to see. And the one that will check our eyes, we are not seeing well. This entire church, we are not seeing well. We are not even seeing when God is taking a very serious breath. And negotiating into a new dimension. We're not seeing it. Hallelujah. Because that particular encounter changed the course of things, changed the course of Christianity. Hallelujah. John the Baptist had come, Jesus had come, now it was all to establish certain things, certain principles in the kingdom, and establish them in the kingdom of God. But his gaze was full of his eyes for him to be able to see it. To move away from being religious, from being church, running around for church and for religious things. Scales must fall his eyes. That is why Revelation says, come and buy of me gold, try and fire. I serve so that you begin to see. We must begin to see, brethren. God, somebody wrote the other day that God is taking a call. He's moving in a certain direction. He's moving in a certain direction. That thing is going to cause a lot of casualties. That certain old men in the church will follow, they will become irrelevant. But unless you begin to see it, you will not walk with it. I was telling Brother Stephen this morning, the things of the Spirit, unless you see it and begin to agree with it, you are not going to be a part of it. For many years, I argued about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never had it. Until one night, I decided, one small boy, if I want to put it, a small girl, lay hands on me and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you don't begin to see the things of the Spirit, you're not going to be a practical of it. Hallelujah. If you don't see the way the Spirit of God is moving, you are not going to follow. Because this thing is a matter of them that follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goes. This is the way my elders, somebody tells me, is the way following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Praise God. So Paul, when he has even had that encounter, it was not enough. He had to escape himself, locked up himself where? In Arabia. Is it not so? Hallelujah. So that he can have a clear understanding of God's giving of God. Say, God, which direction are you taking me to? What have you called me in this time to do? Hallelujah. And that was when he had the call clearly. He said that when he had the call, he did not consult any man. Hallelujah. A time comes when consultations will fail. when you begin to hear God yourself. Praise God. So God told him, this call is unto the Gentiles. And the man began to move. And he began to plant churches all over the place. Hallelujah. And God was confirming it with signs and with great wonders. Hallelujah. Let me quickly tell you something about the purpose of encounters. Number one is that when you begin to have encounters with God, you begin to come into a place of intimate relationship. Many of us don't have intimacy with God. So God cannot even unveil to us what his eternal plans are for us in this time and this generation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So by the time you begin to encounter God to a certain level, hallelujah, there are certain things that you cannot take for your own finances. You come into a place of intimacy, say, God, what is this all about? And he begins to tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to move in this time from the place. Hallelujah. Amen. And the other thing that God was showing you, just like you have the lampstand having the seven branches and all, he was telling me that the bread, the shoe bread, had how many?
12.
Hallelujah. Amen. There are dimensions of the world we haven't arrived at. Hallelujah. As you begin to come into a place of intimacy, it begins to open the world. As you eat, hallelujah, a new reality of God is opened up to you. Many of us were still chewing one meal of bread that we have received. Hallelujah. Some of us, the one that we are eating now is maybe prosperity, and we're feeling excited. Some of us are eating something else. But I'm telling you, there is much more than what we are eating now than you. And that's why he said, man shall not live what? By bread, you know, but by what? Every word, all of that word that is on the table of food must be eaten by you and I. So begin to understand the realities and the depths of God.
Hallelujah.
And when you speak, all that comes out of you is the word of God. Your experience is the word of God. Hallelujah. The way you govern your own home becomes the word of God. The way you manage your business becomes the word of God. Even if you're working for someone, you are working because it is the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It comes as a result of men eating out of the table of the children. They eat the newness of life. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the more we eat, the more the population will increase.
Good.
Hallelujah. Amen. He made it the first time. How many loaves of bread? First, how many? The second time he met them, how many loaves of bread? He counted. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the word of God will increase mightily in our midst. Hallelujah. So another purpose of place of encounter with God is that not all riches. It is not all what we can get from God. But it is about the level of transfiguration. I deliberately use the word transfiguration. Because as you are coming into a place of intimacy with God, there are certain changes, there are certain visions, there are certain spiritual realities you begin to understand. Hallelujah. He took them, three of them, he took them up to the mountain. Is it not so? Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And he said, there, what happened? There he was transfigured. Hallelujah. What he was actually showing them was that there is a level in me you can come to, you will be like this. You will be like this in your city. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a level in God you will come to. You will not just see the transfiguration, you are going to see Moses and Elijah. There is a level of fellowship you are going to come with me. You are going to begin to integrate yourself into the fellowship of the saints that are found before you. That was what he took them there. And somebody thought it was something just for the moment. He said, let us be the tabernacle. Is it not what really happens with us? A little reality of God, he opens up with you who can tabernacle there. But God wants to show us more. He wants to bring deeper revelation of himself to us. So when we come into a place of encounter, God is to come into a place of certain levels of spiritual reality that will forever change our lives.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope we're not sleeping.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Until things broke through our window and entered our house. After a season, there was so much powerful fear, we could not sleep. When it's coming in like this, we'll be on tiptoe. It was as bad as I am not exaggerating. He couldn't put things in the house. Hallelujah. So much fear. The first time it happened, it wasn't as bad. But this second time, they came. Hallelujah. Broke through our window. Enter. And I went to the bottom of the room, and he said, you're a foolish man. He knows he's not even getting money for the house. That when that boy was a good year before, bam! So I said, I won't get it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what some of us working in fear. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a encounter that will change your life. It continues that way for weeks. We are just begging God, please delay a little bit of the night, let it not come too fast. I don't know whether you understand. Because when night is coming, your heart starts shaking. Hallelujah. And if those guys that had gone that night, maybe they would have shocked me because I wasn't fast and responding to them. But something happened. As we prayed and cried out unto God, I was just lying on the bed one night. And I saw this man. He came to the foot of the bed. And he stood there. Hands up him. Hallelujah. He was more than 6 or 7 feet tall. I was just looking at him. Man, seeing him.
Amen.
And from that day to today,
amen.
No more fear.
Amen.
When you have an encounter, there are certain things that are registered permanently in your life.
Yeah.
Nothing can take it away. And that is why we need to cry out for it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So that it brings a transformation right from the inside. Intimacy brings a transformation. Because every day as you are beholding him, you are being what? Changed!
Amen.
You are being changed. You are being transformed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number 3 thing is that to deal with stubborn situations in our lives, e.g. sickness, certain sin, or repeated patterns of events in our lives. Hallelujah. That is one of the purposes why God wants you to come into a place where you can encounter him. You don't run away from God. You don't want to do that and run. Hallelujah. He didn't want to encounter God anymore. He ran. Hallelujah. So he cried out. God cried out. He said, Adam! Adam, where are you? Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand who God is. He is the almost seeing God. Is it not so? So think for a moment. Why was he looking for Adam? Hallelujah. Remember before now, he used to have a place of intimacy with Adam. He comes down in the cool of the day and he will have fellowship with him. At this particular time, something has happened. Therefore, the man has lost his place. Hallelujah. There was a place Adam should be occupied. But when sin came into the sin equation came, the man lost his peace. So that before happened before him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
There is a place. And there is a level. There is a dimension of God where you should be functioning. Hallelujah. And God wants to restore that. I don't know whether you know that you were created not to fall sick.
Amen.
You are made not to fall sick. Hallelujah. And I'm beginning to experience it a little bit. Hallelujah. I was here must have malaria. Hallelujah. As for some people, if that is their, that is happening at their second nature, who are waiting the body, who have all malaria and typhoid. Malaria and typhoid, emphasize. Praise God. There is a level involved in Moscow, and we don't talk about that. A place of intimacy. Even before you come, God will tell you, be careful what you're eating. Be careful what you're drinking. Be careful the places where you go. Be careful. Hallelujah. You're overworking yourself. You need a time to rest. It comes by a place of intimacy with God. Are you with me, God? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God must restore that. Or every time, like I mentioned earlier, things repeatedly are happening to you. Hallelujah. The purpose of encounter is to break the cycle. That cycle, that pattern must be broken. Hallelujah. You don't let it be. It comes by encounter with God. Hallelujah. Don't have enough time to really deal with that. Hallelujah. Another thing for encounter that brings about spiritual renewal. Hallelujah. The stream is ever flowing. Hallelujah. In season and out of season. Hallelujah. There is a stream. It says there is a river. Huh? The stream flow of mixed water. There is a constant flow. God brings you to a place of encounter so that He will bring you to a place where there is a constant flow to address anything that comes to you. I was so blessed by the testimony of a very share when they got into a supermarket. Hallelujah. And the girl was manifested. Hallelujah. Even the moving. If the stream were not flowing, if there is no encounter, if there is no place of intimacy with God, my dear, they will look at that girl and they will walk away and go home and nothing will happen. You understand? Nobody will hold them accountable. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The stream is ever flowing. Hallelujah. There was a girl that came. Hallelujah. And she was coming from school. She cleared herself. I called her because her parents, somebody came complaining about her. So I stood her. I said, and I began to say things that she began to cry. That is, she began to shed tears. I don't know what I said. But I began to tell her the story of her life. Hallelujah. I said, sir, who told you? I said, you don't need to know. You need to have the time with you. See, today she hasn't come. I gave her a promise. She never came. But one day they announced that there was a problem in the Tatima when they came. So I was asking them, all of them, I said, what impression do you have about me? They said, you are a stigma. This one said, you are a stigma. This one said, that particular guy said, I think you're a prophet. Praise God. What am I saying? When we come into a place of intimacy with God, there is a dimension of discernment we need to carry. Even when men are planning to engage into trouble, we will do it.
Amen.
There are certain things I speak in prayer in my room, and as I go to school, I see them manifest. Hallelujah. It is born out of encounters.
Amen.
Church, the end time church is not crying out for encounter with God. And that is why there is a low level of power and the manifestation of the power and the glory of God in our midst. I want to be a carrier of the glory of God. I want to be a carrier of the presence of God. And it comes by intimacy with God. How much of it do you have? Hallelujah. It goes down to the grassroots. There is a place in my wife where they sell fruits. When I go there, deal. You know why? If I go and buy the banana from you, before 12 noon, the banana is
dead. Amen.
Hallelujah. So they want me to always buy from them.
Amen.
Are you okay, brother?
Yes.
It is not, and I need to boast to tell them, I tell them, if I buy your banana, my dear, I can't buy banana.
Amen.
The guy is cool, he's cool, he's cool.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes you don't need those things, but because there's an administration that we need to proceed out of you, you just need them to help them. In the book, in the villages, brethren, there is serious action.
Mm.
And it will take you and I to bring belief and deliverance to them.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, encounter also is for divine direction. Hallelujah. When you begin to get, you know, confused, you need to come to a place. Hallelujah. There are many of us that don't know what we should be doing. Hallelujah. There are many of us that don't know the way the wind is blowing in the nation. Hallelujah. We must come to a place of encounter where God begins to speak clearly to us. Hallelujah. We are not going to grow in the dark.
Amen.
We are not going to keep moving trial and error. He said the people that knew their God, what will happen to them? They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Hallelujah. We must know this God, brethren. We must know Him in an intimate way. We must not, we cannot be talking to the voice, talking whatever comes to our mouths. There's a certain level of intimacy with God you get, you don't talk anyhow. Hallelujah. Because whatever you say, hallelujah, is going to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are on a level of the Gambiraska, talk anyhow you like. There are certain reasons you come. God says, don't stay. Don't sit down there. You sit down at the end of the day, you go. Sometimes you say, just pray. Just pray. Hallelujah. Just keep praying. You pray and you go. Not everything that you must say. There are many things you may be seeing in the spirit that God said, keep quiet. It is not for now.
Amen.
There are certain words the Lord has given me. He said, don't talk about it. Just keep it. It is not for now. Hallelujah. If you say it now, you are going to create more confusion. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say quickly. Hallelujah. How do we build this capacity in the spirit? What do we do? Hallelujah. There are certain things we need to be prepared for. To be able to build up, I say, building up yourself in your what? In your most holy faith. We must build capacity now, not tomorrow. The night is far spent. Hallelujah. The day is at hand. So the saints of God must begin to build capacity. Hallelujah. As we leave this meeting, brethren, let us take time out. Hallelujah. To build up ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I found five things we need to do. There are five of them. Number one is prayer. We need to learn to build capacity in prayer. Our level of prayer, we must intensify it. And I believe that we can be that catalyst in our fellowship that can do that. Many people don't understand the secret of warfare in this time anymore. The dynamics of warfare has changed. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you that saw the video. I think Tinubu sponsored some people to go to Mecca. How many of you saw it? And they were chanting Tinubu. Tinubu. President of Nigeria. Tinubu. President of Nigeria. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that the dynamics of warfare has changed. If they could do that concerning presidency, what do you think that your neighbor next door will be doing to you? If they are doing that to gain a place of position, what do you think will be happening in the place where you work? The dynamics of warfare has changed. If you, for example, you own a company and the company begins to go down, my dear, it is not for nothing. Something is happening in the spirit. It's a call that will change your spiritual strategy to addressing those things in the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There are certain restrictions we have had. I want to make bold to say certain things. I hope the Lord will send you. Hallelujah. There was a time they were telling us that why should you get up to midnight and pray? Have you not heard that?
No.
Like why should you pray at midnight? You haven't heard it. Now hear it again. Praise God. Yeah, yes. Hallelujah. They say that kind of people, you don't need to pray at midnight. But it's not scripture. Even says himself taught us. He says that at midnight, what happens? That is when spiritual transactions begin to take place. The things that they deposit on your head, you carry through during the day, have been manipulated and arrayed in the spirit of midnight. As you wake up into them. You carry them. You wake up and you don't know why you are carrying them. who was released from your head at that time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, we need to change our strategy in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not much. Let it become a habit. They were telling us of a man who started midnight prayer. That is not midnight prayer. He prayed night vigil. From 2006 or so, he did. Every night, night vigil. Man, human being like you and I. And when he finished, he'll take his bath and go to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Brethren, that you are not there does not mean men are not arrived there. There are people who are already occupying that space. They are just ruling over that space. I need to come up high. There is a level of prayer we need to be praying. Hallelujah. They have told us in the past that you cannot fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. But you know, experience is telling us that it is not true. The other day, there was a lie that Nadab was selling. I don't know how many of you have read it. That if you fast too much, your kidney will pack up. Didn't you read it?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. That people should not be fasting too much, that their kidney will be hurt. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you hear that one, say, God, that's it. Now, you will not be fasting like this anymore. Only that my kidney. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is an intensity of warfare that is coming. Hallelujah. And I don't think it negates the speech. Hallelujah. When the wicked sends an arrow, he returns to him. It's not that you are going to pray it for him. It is the first mechanism, yes, of the law of the spirit of the Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God begins to take them as their own mischief. And he says that the word of God will see the existence of the wicked. With my eyes, I see it. Praise God. In other words, brethren, the dynamic of prayer is beginning to change. Reverend was saying, somebody prays for 4 hours, 3 hours, non-stop. Hallelujah. And when you begin to, you know you are getting capacity. When you move from 1 hour, let me tell you, 1 hour is the recommended. Because you went with them up to the mount. And when he came back, they were all sleeping. And some of us are sleeping now. He said, would you not do what? Carry the belief of what? For 1 hour. That is the reason for prayer. Your prayer life should move from 30 minutes to 1 hour. Upgrade. Upgrade. Amen. Amen. Some of us is 15 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. If there is something called the hour of prayer. It's different from when I'm walking on the street and I'm praying. There must be a time I dedicate to be in the presence of God. And that time is sacred. That time, nothing you cannot compromise it. My phone must be on do not disturb. You just get like the thing will do not get off your call. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to put it off completely. It's not one you pray 1 hour, you come and say, what is there? It's no longer allowed. It's this level of interaction that comes in the spirit. Sometimes phones have to be put off. And while you're praying, the Spirit of God will tell you, Mr. A called, Mr. B called, you haven't got your phone.
Amen.
Mr. C called.
Amen.
And as you go, it's there.
Amen. Amen.
But Amen. This man and that man is coming. While you are in the hour of prayer.
Amen.
I'm not telling you the story. But Elton will be in his room praying. God will tell him, so and so persons are coming to see you. And this are their problems. And as they come back, the same people. As they open your mouth, he said, I know why you are here. You are finding out. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That is the level of intimacy that we must build. We must build capacity. The water, the rhythm has changed. So the church must be awake. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And there are three levels of prayer that we must be praying. There is the one of intercession. And there is the one of supplication. Oftentimes we use them all. And I can say that they are different. Hallelujah. Today is not the day to draw the distinction. But there is a third level I want to call our attention. And that is the third level of thanksgiving. Many of us don't pray that level of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. We just more time before Father, thank you for this. Thank you for that. But listen, there must be a time that you spend time just to thank Him. You are not thanking Him for the things He has done for you. You are not thanking Him for the ones you anticipate. You are just thanking Him because there is a way with Him that He works in bringing things to pass that confounds humanity. Somewhere that says that God moves forward in a what? Mysterious way. Hallelujah. You need to thank Him. Hallelujah. Because sometimes when you are asleep, you are sent on an errand to accomplish certain things. And when you come back, like we are listening last night, God just used you. You need to thank Him for it. He said, when you have done that, you tell yourself you are what? And I'm profitable. It is just part of your nature to begin to serve God in this dimension. There are women that have served God in prayer. All their lives. Do you know where that people know about? We're talking about a woman called Anna. All her life. She lived her life in prayer. Hallelujah. And you take a moment to ask yourself, how was she being fed? How was she managing herself? The issue of husband was totally cut off. Hallelujah. There are those in our time, God is calling you to a dedicated time. Just give me your life of prayer. Forget this issue of husband. Forget this issue of wife. Hallelujah. Just give me your time. They will be serving God in prayer and in intercession. And as they are doing that, God is providing for them. And God at the same time is using them to accomplish His purpose in His kingdom in this heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
The number two thing is that there must be a fasting. We were very touching last night, and I think I have mentioned it. The second thing that will help you build capacity in the spirit is fasting. There was a video I sent out, and the guy was saying something weird. I didn't send it to everybody. He said that when you are fasting, he was talking about intermittent fasting. I don't know how many of us that know about intermittent fasting. If you know it, raise your hand. Okay. Intermittent fasting is very good for your health, too. Praise God. But not small, but when you fast. The man said that your eyes, your eyeballs begin to open. That you begin to see dimensions in the spirit that you have never seen before. That a revelation begins to come to you. That you can see men. And your eye is going through them. You are able to read their intentions sometimes. That is, he's saying that your level of discernment begins to increase. Hallelujah. Amen. A time comes, and this is the time, when food must be put aside in pursuit of this God. Hallelujah. It's a little faster with food. Hallelujah. You start from 6 in the evening. Hallelujah. And you don't eat. Your last meal is 6. You don't eat until about 10, 11 the following day. It's very good. Hallelujah. It's good for health. They say it stirs up your ketosis. See, that's something you call it. Hallelujah. That at that time, your body begins to eat up the remaining nutrients within to be able to produce energy. Hallelujah. That one is good. But I'm talking about fasting. Hallelujah. Continuously. Hallelujah. We must break through this veil of fasting for 3 days and we are feeling tired. But I can tell you that when you break through 3 days, you begin to gain stability. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. You can go on and on just with drinking water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There are certain of us here today as I speak. That we exercise ourselves in that in order to break certain patterns over your life.
Amen. Amen.
Certain limitations, certain drawbacks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, God is both of us. Until you answer me, I will not let you go. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The challenge we have is that. that when this type of fast begins to come, our major limitation here is that we're not able to handle the strange spiritual experiences God brings us into. Because God begins to show you things, begins to reveal things to you, He begins to take you to certain levels of spiritual experiences. You are not able to decode them, discern them, and begin to ask God, what direction should I take? Some go there because they want power. And when power is given to them, power begins to lose control. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you go back, you can read Luke chapter 4. Read 1 to 14. Hallelujah. And 2, 35 to 38. Hallelujah. The third thing about building capacity is in the Word of God. Like I said earlier, those 12 loaves of bread. Hallelujah. We must feed on them. We must study to show ourselves approved. I'm not studying the Word of God to preach. I am studying so that I be qualified into that thing that God is calling His saints unto at this time. Hallelujah. And what can qualify you is the level of what you have. Hallelujah. I brother was saying it this morning. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There is food that is meant for adults. Is it not so? And are we together, brethren? There are food that are meant for babies. Hallelujah. And the confusion in our time is that men will feed on babies' food and they feed their adults. And they come in to begin to confuse the church. Hallelujah. And when you correct them, they get offended. Hallelujah. Build up your capacity in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So that you begin to do it, follow the way Jesus did. He said to preach and to teach and to do. The Word of God is not for me to memorize it and begin to jump all over the place. It is a life that changes a lifestyle. Hallelujah. So we study to show ourselves approved. And we listen. Gregory mentioned it last night, as if we knew how we were going to discuss this. You know, there are men that have changed their life. And I listen to them to date. I read their books. One man I listened to all the time, the last year, I was listening to him, is Tommy Cook. Tommy Cook was a man who was dynamic in the spirit. I don't know how many of you. You know, as his ministry is prophesying. And he brings the world to the level where you can comprehend. Tommy Cook was preaching in 1987. He said, pray for this nation, this American nation, there is trouble coming. I don't know what happened that year. But he was calling the brother, the camels, telling them that they should pray for their country. And there, when we talk about praying for Nigeria, we're getting into trouble. When there is a prophetic war concerning the nation, brethren, we must do it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Therefore, these men are men, we must read their works. We must listen to them. They are the people that have laid the foundation for us. So let us take time to study. Let us take time to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Let us take time, hallelujah, to listen to these things, this basic truth. And I said, in their foundation they have laid, the God is saying, come up here. Hallelujah. Wonderful teachings of brothers, you see. Wonderful teachings of rebuilding. Wonderful teachings of, what is it now? Thomas. Hallelujah. These are men that God has used to bless us. But God has laid the foundation. Now, the church is looking on. This morning, this last night I was meditating on Elijah and Elisha. Elijah laid the foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you see, he needed to do something more. Hallelujah. He was telling Elijah, he said, stay here. The man refused. He said, stay here. He said, no, wherever you are going, I'm going to go. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, now, as he was going, he
don't take your Lord today. He said, I know. But do what? Hold your peace. You know, there are academic prophets. They understand. They read from the scroll. They understand what God is about to do. But they are never part of it. They will tell you what is going to happen tomorrow, but they are not part of that thing God is doing. There are many in time who understand all these judgments, all these things, but they are not part of it. They are just starting. They remain where they are. But not so with Elisha. He said, I will not stay. I will move with him. And as he had that encounter again, the final time, hallelujah, that would have put their restraint over the man. Huh? Hallelujah. They need to cross a river. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Are we together? They need to cross a river. From me, that would have been the task. Elijah had the ability to cross the river, but not so with Elisha. All the same, it crossed. And it's not in crossing now. It's when they're coming back. You don't have the mantle to come back. You have the ability to handle spiritual things. You have the ability. Hallelujah. When he got there, his master was speaking. He said that, what will guarantee your ability to function of walking in the double mountain is when you see him. He leaves that mountain and man when he came to the river, bam. That was the first experience that Elisha had and had to cross. What am I trying to say? There are the words the Lord has given us. They have laid a very good foundation. Brethren, we must be of them that follow on to know. We must move on with this revelation. There is an ultimate that this revelation has. For you and I, there is an ultimate. And unless you follow on to know, you will not come there. You might know everything about the tabernacle. You might explain the intricacies. But the point is that, are you following on to know? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for those saints of God. Hallelujah. The fourth day is fellowship. Hallelujah. Today, fellowships are in crisis. Hallelujah. And it's for a purpose. And if you want to listen, listen well. Fellowships are in crisis and yet will be in crisis. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of them are orchestrated by the devil. But I can also tell you that God is using this to select. Say, many are called. The few are what? Choosing. There is a choosing that is coming at this hour. There is a selection that is coming at this hour. Are you part of those that God is laying his hands upon in this time? It is not a matter of being in the crowd. Huh? You are an MIS fellowship. And you don't make a heart fellowship. That is not the issue. Are you part of what God is doing now? Fellowship is crucial. Hallelujah. This is our first physical fellowship. It's very, very important. But you must have an objective why you are in that fellowship. Are you a life-giving spirit or you are a confusionist? What are you doing there? If you are no longer comfortable, my dear, leave the fellowship. Hallelujah. But not in anger and all that. Quietly. If the place is no longer meeting with you. You can behave like my quarters man. He left them and he locked himself in the fastness. And that is sad. Praise God. Brethren, fellowship, the dynamics of fellowship is changing. God is bringing a people together into a place of intimacy where they can walk together. Hallelujah. You know what he did with Paul and Barnabas? They were all having fellowship. He said, what did he say? Separate me. He put those people aside for an assignment. Fellowship is moving from the place where we come to each other. He's bringing people to carry out assignments. Which assignment is he giving you? That brings me to spiritual fellowship. There is a spiritual dimension of fellowship we are coming in this time. When God sends you an assignment, people from all over, you don't meet them before you, but you meet in the spirit to carry out a particular task. When I read Madame Guillaume, I did blew my mind. She will be in her room. Hallelujah. Although my ex-husband, I'm carrying out one minister to one woman that is sick somewhere, she will lay hands upon the person, minister to the person gets in, she gets back into her body.
Amen. Amen. God is setting his people apart for specific assignments.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That time we're talking about the other brother who were doing the same thing. Hallelujah. It comes from the level of encounters you have with God. The level of intimacy you have with God. And that is what we're emphasizing. If you are to come into a place of intimacy, there are certain things you must get rid of out of your life. Deliberately.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Intentionally. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. The truth and final, because our time is gone. The truth and final is the act, is this thing called giving. Giving is part of your building capacity.
Amen.
I don't know how many of us that know that. Giving is part of being. Of building capacity in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because whatever you are doing, hallelujah, with that thing that God is giving to you, you are building worship. Are you with me? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when I'm talking about giving, I'm not talking about just monetary terms. Some of us give our time, and some of us actually give our resources. And if you want to increase in material things in this life, learn the act of giving. The unbelievers have learned it.
Amen.
They are benefiting from it. Because it's a principle, it's a law of the spirit. When once you get into it, you reap the benefit thereof. Whether you are a believer or not, sometimes it's immaterial. I use the word sometimes. Hallelujah. But the saints of God are not utilizing it. Hallelujah. We are not giving. We are not giving to ourselves. We are not giving time to ourselves. Hallelujah. There are those I believe in this time, God calls them, consecrates them for the act of providing financial support for his kingdom. I believe so much in that. Hallelujah. And you can see God blessing them. Huh? When I talk about God, that was when they learned the language, so you. So sweet. I don't think that would be myself. So sweet. Hallelujah. Praise God. The people of the kingdom don't know how to give. And that's why we remain in public. I have tried the issue of giving. Hallelujah. And brethren, it works. There are certain deliverances God will begin to pour into your life because you have dedicated your life not just praying, but also in giving. Hallelujah. I don't think the scripture is missing warfare. When it says something in 2 Corinthians 9, let's look at it. I think it's 2 Corinthians 9. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 5 says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they will go before unto you and make you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap what also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Hallelujah. Now, Paul and Ananias and Sapphira did not understand the principles of God. And they lost out completely. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Here he says, if you sow sparingly. I don't know how to describe it. You are in a farm, you take seed. You are imagining the seed you are sowing. Are you with me? You sow here, you sow here, you sow here, you sow here. You sow here. That is how you are going to reap. Hallelujah. But if you carry a handful and you do like this, you do like this. Not carry where they are falling. That is the principle of the soul. Hallelujah. He just spreads it. He spreads it. He says, some to what? 100-fold. To a 60-fold. And to what? A 30-fold. Problem is, is that we don't know how to. And I will name out five principles you have to work with our guide. Because it's important in this time. Hallelujah. Go and ask those who are traveled for the gospel. Go and find out. Hallelujah. Whether they have ever, like, God will own woman. You're not saying amen. So, he will not own you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. For the very same, for two of you, go and find out. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, every man according as he proposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. I don't know whether you understand. That is, you are giving, you are grudging in your heart. I am in this house. I don't understand. This thing that I'm giving. That if I give these five now, two will remain. And I have this problem to solve. That's grudging. The next one is of necessity. That is, you just feel it is necessary to give. It's another area of not giving. Hallelujah. It's out of compulsion, that's it. Praise God. Hallelujah. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all what grace abound. When you begin to give, grace begins to abound. I don't know whether you understand what grace is. There is something, an aura that begins to cover you, overshadow you. There is a covering that is upon you that attracts favor, that attracts goodness, that attracts anything good in life. That is grace. Grace is a covering. Hallelujah. It's a resource, it's a personality that begins to work inside you. Hallelujah. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all, hallelujah, when you begin to give, there is no limit to your resources. He said, always you have what? Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sow, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many other scriptures, but let me just drop this about giving. You must notice the need, you must see it. And some people see the need not from the realm of the physical. God begins to minister to them. When we grow in capacity, we begin to see the needs, not just of our immediate environment, sometimes the needs of the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a ministry that went to Isaiah. He said, whom shall we send? And who will do what? Go for us. There was a need that was seen in the spirit. And there needed men that could do that. There are two brethren. I think it was Brother Tom Campbell who was sharing that story. And they own a conglomerate in the U.S. And they, all that they do, they don't go out to preach. They just stay and be praying. And God begins to direct them. That their resources, their income, that they get some of their profits is dedicated for the missionary work. But they don't go. Hallelujah. And there was this man that God was sending to sell a loaf. Hallelujah. God began to direct. The man didn't know the place actually until by revelation and by God's direction he got to this man. And when he got there, they were praying. He got their knees praying. Hallelujah. Amen. When they finished praying, they asked him to come. And they began to tell them. They said, God has told us about you before we came. And they gave money for him to go to Ceremony some years ago. Praise God. So there are men God must be praising now. I don't, like you, I don't want to call any some callings at the names. But there are God is raising them. They may not be able to go, but God is providing these resources for them to begin to sponsor the works of the kingdom of God. And as they are doing that, God is expanding them the more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to notice the need. Number two is to make ready to give. Your heart should be ready to give at any time.
Hallelujah.
When once God shows you the need, you must be ready to give. Number three is that you understand the principle of the law of giving. You need to understand there is a principle that guides the giving. You must understand it.
Hallelujah.
That if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And if that is like a guide to you, then you know how you're going to be.
Hallelujah.
Some people are still working with the principle of tithe. That is very good. It's a schoolmaster.
Hallelujah.
But I implore you to step over your one tenth and give at least 10.5.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And see what God will do with that 0.5. I'm talking experience. Praise God. A man gets to a point where he began to give God 9/10, not 1/10 anymore. And he said they never laughed. I'm sure he bought that testimony until he went to be with the Lord. He came away. Praise God. Amen. Understand the principle of the Lord of giving. You must propose what to give. You must make up your mind what to give.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Make up your mind that this is what I'm going to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. And then fifth, you must realize the reward of giving. You must realize there is a reward in giving. Praise God. So what we're saying in summary is that we must build capacity. And capacity comes by having an encounter with God. Many of us, all the things we are doing is just others, because others, we heard that others are doing it. What is your own experience? And Sister Joy was saying that. What is your own experience? What encounter do you have with God? Where are you really going? Where is the church really heading? We need to understand all this.
Hallelujah.
Because when we understand, we're able to kick in into the Spirit of God and to that which is good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I have one prayer. I wish you would pray. God, I want an encounter.
Amen.
I need to encounter you. Hallelujah. And over our heads, we need to pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, I want to encounter you. I want to know you. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable unto his death.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think we have sat for a while. Can we just stand on our feet and just place our hand? Tell God that you want to encounter him. He's going to meet you. He may not be here. He may be at home. He may be on your way home. But there is certainly an answer to a prayer or an encounter that God will want to bring his saints with you.
Hallelujah.
O Pasara.
Thank you.
they have had repeated patterns of experiences. And they have grown helpless. When I mean patterns, events, situations, sometimes they come almost the same. The same pattern. God says he will break that pattern today. That cycle is going to be broken. Number two, somebody having very serious illness that have endured for a long time. And you are also at the verge of giving up. And to accept it, the Lord is saying, I'm he that healeth, that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, we're going to pray for those people. And other things as we pray, I believe the Spirit of God will open them up. We just have a few minutes to do that. Hallelujah. If you have that kind of any of these experiences, just indicate, and there will be a prayer praying for you. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. And your faith will go forth to lay hold on the word that shall be spoken about you. Now, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. say today, salvation, deliverance, wholeness, soundness, enlargement is come to this house. I believe if you have been flowing with the water, the river, the prayer we're praying now is essentially for your mind, for your mind to acknowledge.
Hallelujah.
Because the Lord has already been moving.
Amen.
The dimension of God addressing infirmity. Infirmity of the mind and emotion. Infirmity of the body. The Lord has been moving and making whole. He said that wherever the water shall flow, if this water, you have opened your hands and this water has been flowing through, he said everything shall be healed.
Yes.
And brother, this is how God begins to work. The new dimension is that we save time. Praise the name of the Lord. As the world is going, as the Lord is moving, as you open up your heart, things are happening.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will bear witness to you. The woman said, if I could but stretch and touch, she on her own initiative moved there. And she went beyond the crowd and she connected. And the Bible says she knew within her. The Lord will begin to grant us witnesses. That my mother has been searched. You're sitting on your seat as you're opening up, the Spirit bears witness. Your mother has been
searched.
Your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
The church moves into this dimension. You know, normally we have, listen, the one person is come, pray for me, this person say, pray for me, that, this person. We're going to spend one day doing that. But brethren, it's no longer have no man. They have not laid hands on me yet. I told you to get offended. You didn't pray for me. You pray for this other person. My dear, the water is flowing. Are you with me, brethren? Our mind must adjust to the new reality.
Yeah.
As you are here, things are happening. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray as we are going to pray. I want you to know that the king's decree has gone forth. The king has gone forth concerning you. See, daughter. Thou art loosed. And that's the word of the Lord to you. And I say this to every man here. You are loosed. In the name of Jesus. The argument of heaven is this. He said, ought not this daughter of Abraham. But let me tell you what happened. The king has opened the book. He said, God who said to Nathaniel, your prayers. Because I didn't think you started praying about this matter today. But today is the day when the king has given a decree. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And it's a time when the Lord is rebuking. You know, the disciples say, how can you say this? Everyone is touching you. There are always those voices. Praise the name of the Lord. The man said, I know what happened. Somebody connected to me in a way that drew virtue out of me. Brethren, the Lord helped us to learn to connect. So that as He's going, the thing is going out. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we will release your virtue.
Amen.
Upon your people.
Amen.
Oh, thou, He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went about. Lord, you are going about this camp. You have been going about this camp, doing good, healing them oppressed of the devil, making the cripple to walk, the paralyzed to remain whole. All you are asking each person, do you earnestly wish to remain whole? Do you sincerely want to remain whole? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we command your release.
Amen.
Touching every heart,
amen.
Touching every life, healing the body, my God. Heal the emotions, my God. Heal the mind, my Father. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command every evil occurrence, every vicious cycle Pray in the name of Jesus. We command every infirmity of the body be healed. We break the yoke of infirmity. We say, henceforth, be also circumcised that your feet will not enter the sanctuary. Satan will rebuke you concerning these words. The king has said, be far from them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we receive miracle. We receive testimony. We receive visitation. We receive encounters. We receive experiences with you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Enlightenment. Deliverance. Unto the Israel of God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brethren. God bless you. Amen.
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 Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. Pray we shall be shutting down.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has been moving in incredible ways. I keep saying this, and I just pray that you don't be tired of hearing it. Fellowship is changing. This whole thing is changing. And still, we are settled in end time. We'll stay in end time.